Wow. So here we are, day 100 of hashtag 365, which sounds impressive and sort of like a landmark until you realise we're not even a third of the way through yet. Oh dear. I'm going to tell you a story I haven't told you yet. Hashtag 365 isn't a new concept. I actually first dreamed it up years ago, probably about 5 years ago or so. But originally, I wasn't going to do it as a podcast. I hadn't had the idea of doing it as a podcast. Originally, I was just going to do it on Twitter, where I was going to post up each day, hashtag 365, day one, for example, talk about what I'd eaten that day. And it's going to be more of like a kind of on-Twitter food diary. The idea being, if I do it publicly, people that follow me at Alex Baker Man would be able to, you know, see what I was up to and sort of inspire me to crack on with it, sort of thing. Problem was, I used to get to sort of day 8 or day 12. I think the most I got to ever was like day 15 or something. And then invariably I'd go out and get drunk, or I'd eat something terrible, have a bad takeaway or whatever, and I'd mess it up. And rather than sort of having the presence of mind that I've got now to sort of know that it's all about resilience and getting back on the horse and cracking on, I'd sort of blow it all up and go, oh no, I've messed it up. And I had this word that I kept using, which was reset. And my mate Talia used to always laugh at me whenever she saw that hashtag 365 reset on my Twitter. She'd be like, oh yeah, you've reset again, have you? So this morning I tweeted her and just said, can you believe it? Day 100 today. I bet you never thought you'd see the day. Crazy. So here we are, day 100 of this 365-day journey. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, if you're one of the people that's been on this journey with me since the start and listened to every episode, or even if you've just listened to half of the episodes, but you're keeping broadly abreast of what's going on, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, having the support of the people that are listening to this and engaging with me about it in any way, big or small, really does mean the world. And I can't believe I've lost 20 pounds. It's just... Well, actually, I can believe it. If I'm totally honest, I can believe it, because I knew from the start that this was going to work. And I knew that doing it every day, checking in with myself and with you every day, keeping it top of mind every day, and doing it for a sustained period of time, for a year, I knew that it would work. Which is why I've been so sort of gung-ho about it, and why I've been encouraging people that want to come on the journey with me, because I'm not asking anything of anybody that's in any way, you know, challenging or difficult or anything. I believe that if you want to make a healthier lifestyle for yourself, this is the way to do it. So I'm so stoked that you're on this journey with me. And whether you're on the journey because you're trying to lose weight for yourself, or whether you're just enjoying the story, or you're enjoying hearing about some different psychological concepts, or whatever it is, you're just enjoying listening to me chat nonsense for whatever reason, I just honestly cannot thank you enough. So here we are, day 100. I thought today what might be quite useful is to talk about the chimp again, because I think I've come to realise over this 100-day journey so far that understanding your chimp is possibly one of the most important things that you can do. And that sounds like quite a bold statement to make, given that the whole concept of a chimp is really just based on one book, which is called The Chimp Paradox, which you must read. It really is very, 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 very interesting. It's slightly annoying as a book because you sort of... Well, I felt this when I read it. Others may disagree. You sort of learn everything you need to know about it in the first probably 50 pages, and then a lot of it's just kind of repetitious. But it's still very much worth a read, so do make sure you check it out, The Chimp Paradox. But just to quickly restate, before I go into the things I've learnt about my chimp, because he doesn't talk about any of this stuff in the book, he just talks about the actual concept of a chimp. Let's just quickly go back to basics. So the idea, and I know we've talked about this a lot, but it's always important to repeat things, and, well, maybe that's why he did it in his book. Listen to me, criticising someone for being repetitious before then diving into my own repetition. But you know what I mean. I've got my reasons, as perhaps he did. I'm perhaps being unfair. This is how he lays it out in the book. The human mind is made up of different sections. There's a computer section, which is there for like processing and memory and mathematics and all that kind of stuff. There's a human section, which is there for conscious thought and dealing with the matter at hand and structured, reasoned thinking. And then there's the chimp part, which is the primal part of your brain, which is all about emotion, ruled by feeling good and fear. It's the thing that switches on. It's that fight or flight. It's this almost, well, he's not crazy. He's just a chimp. And he lives inside your brain. And he's terrified. He still thinks he lives in the jungle. He still thinks that every single day is a battle for survival. Every single day you've got to figure out where your next meal is coming from, otherwise you're going to starve to death. You know, he still lives in that mindset because he hasn't progressed and hasn't developed at the speed of the rest of the brain. But it's an important part of the brain as well. Like, I'm not dismissing the chimp. It has a role to play. It's an emotional, thinking, feeling creature within you that does have an important role to play. But if you have an unhealthy relationship with your chimp, this is the point. If you don't know how to manage your chimp and you don't know how to box your chimp off, things can go a little bit wrong. Because the chimp is very powerful, because it's so emotional, it can hijack you at any moment. And it can start making you do things and say things that you don't mean and that you don't want to do. Right? Have you ever lashed out at someone and you ever told anyone to, like, F off or whatever? More than likely, that's probably your chimp. Getting angry, getting territorial, getting pissed off. It's not what the human, reasonable, thinking mind does. It's what the chimp does. I'm not absolving anybody of responsibility. The chimp is part of you and it's your responsibility to learn how to manage it. Does that make sense? I know it's a bit of a weird concept, but hopefully it rings true instinctively to you in the same way that it does to me. So when it comes to hunger, or better put, when it comes to getting healthy, losing weight, all that kind of stuff, there are things that I've learned about my chimp. Bearing in mind, my chimp is just all he cares about is feeling good, satisfaction, and not going hungry. That's like what some of his primary urges, his primary drivers, keeping you alive, making sure you eat all the time. Every opportunity, grab some berries, grab some fruit, grab some burgers, grab some bacon, just eat, because you never know where your next meal's coming from. Oh my God, it's terrifying in the jungle. That's what's happening in your chimp's brain. And things I've learned is that when you've got an unhealthy relationship with a chimp, where you're not boxing him off, when you're listening to him too much and you're succumbing to his every hunger whim, you can start to put on weight pretty rapidly. Because you start eating all the time. You're eating for comfort. You're eating out of for emotional reasons. You're eating because you're addicted to food. You're eating because one of the millions of reasons that the chimp slings at you for why you should eat, rather than eating, as Paul McKenna would say, because you're actually physically hungry. So things I've learned about my chimp. He freaks out and he tries to make me make bad decisions. He can hijack me. And when he does, I'm drawn towards food like a moth to flame. We've all experienced that, haven't we? You know, you'll be walking past the Burger King. Other fast food restaurants are available. Or you'll get it into your head that you want to eat something that day. And it's so difficult to stop yourself from moving towards that goal. You know, you might decide that, oh, we're going to get a Chinese takeaway tonight. And as soon as you've had that thought, your chimp hijacks you. Or that is your chimp hijacking you. But rather than you going into your logical, you know, no, Alex, be mindful about this. You don't need a Chinese takeaway tonight. You need to stick to your calories. If you have the Chinese takeaway, you'll go over your calorie. Rather than going through that logical procession, if the chimp has hijacked you, you better believe it. You're drawn towards that Chinese takeaway. He's so strong, the chimp. You know, once he's got you in his grasp, once he's the one that's taken over your brain, it's really difficult to claw it back, unless you have that moment of clarity where you sit and you go, no, 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 Mr. Chimp. Mm-mm-mm. I know your game. You're not doing this to me. So the key is recognizing when he's in control and then taking control back off him. And you don't have to wrestle him. You can just put him back in his cage. Right? Don't fight with him. Don't try and reason with him. Just put him back in his cage and don't do the thing that he's trying to make you do. Right? So that's one thing I've learned about my chimp. The other thing is that he's sneaky as hell. And over the past 100 days where I've been trying to manage him, trying to box him, trying to cage him, he's learnt. And what kind of manifests as my food addiction via the chimp, he's adapted to. He realises now it's much, much harder for him to completely take control, to hijack my brain, because I notice when he's done it. Because on this journey, I'm doing a podcast every day, I'm talking with you every day, I'm thinking about it all the time. When he hijacks me, it's really noticeable. Do you know what I mean? Usually, if you're going about your day-to-day life, you're not thinking about this stuff, and the chimp hijacks you, and you start stuffing a Chinese takeaway, you probably don't even notice. You haven't stopped to think about any of this spectrum of stuff. You're just doing, you're just being, you're just existing, you're just living. But when you stop, this is why mindfulness is so important, and you realise what's going on, because you've got this whole process front of mind, then you can recognise it. And he doesn't like that. He knows now that it's very difficult for him to go into full battle with me and start freaking out, going, oh, you need to eat this burger, load up extra cheese and bacon, do it, Alex, do it. Because he knows I'll go, whoa, hold on, this is like the chimp, hold on, this is the chimp in control. No, no, let's stop that, I'm going to go and get a salad. So he's got sneakier. And I mentioned this a while back. Sometimes what he does now is he just sits quietly and waits. Waiting for that moment. Waiting for that window of opportunity to strike. And we all know this when we're dieting or trying to be healthy, trying to be good. When we're adjusting our lifestyle, which we're doing obviously over this 365-day journey. We all know that that requires willpower. And when we've been good all day, we've said no, we've resisted the advances of colleagues trying to give us donuts and sausage rolls and go for a glass of wine, at lunch, all that sort of stuff. We've done all that. Feeling good about ourselves. The chimp hasn't said a word all day. And you think, wow, beat you today, mate. Didn't have a chance. I'm in control. Me. I've got this. Woo! Feeling good. Chimps just sit there, just quietly, waiting. Insidiously waiting. And as soon as that little window is just nudged ajar, that door is just pushed open a little bit, and he sees that you're weak even for a second, bam! That's when he comes in and takes over. And he can do that in so many different ways. And often that manifests as temptation. And you kind of, it's very easy then to blame the person that's tempted you. For example, I'm being cryptic. I'll give you a real world example. I've had a hard day. I'm knackered. I'm exhausted. I've been saying no to everybody all day about various different things. Get home. Oh, I'm hungry. My tummy's rumbling a little bit. Because often, obviously, if you're doing calorie restriction, often you are hungry. I don't mean really hungry, like where you're, you know, starving yourself. That's obviously not what this is about. But, you grow comfortable with feeling a little bit hungry. And my wife will say, oh, do you know what? It's been a rubbish day, isn't it? Should we just get a takeaway tonight? And you can almost visualise it, can't you? You can see the chimp's eyebrow just raise a little bit. There's the window. And imagine it like there's an electric lock on his cage, right? and I've kept it shut. I've kept that electric lock closed all day. As soon as that little bit of temptation comes in, shall we get a takeaway? Cage door just swings open a little bit. And if in that moment you haven't got the presence of mind, and it's so easy not to, given everything we're going through on this journey, if in that little moment you haven't got the presence of mind to think, ah, oh, hold on, the cage is unlocked, lock it, Who do you think is going to come charging out of that cage with all of his justifications for why getting a takeaway is the best idea ever? You deserve it, Alex. You've been so good today. Come on, you had a great weigh-in last weekend. This won't mess it up. Plus, it's good to get those essential salts and all the other crap that he'll come out with to convince you that it's a good idea to do the thing that you know you shouldn't do. Right? He's a sneaky fucker, so you've got to watch out for him. That's the second thing I've learned about the chimp. Even sneakier than that, is that he started to, and I mentioned this just the other day, he started to now try and sneak things under the radar. So he knows he can't go into big battles with me. He knows that, because I've put things into play regarding temptation, because I'm aware of it. I'm aware of that, like, cage analogy of the electric cage just unlocking when someone tempts me. Because I'm aware of that, he knows that that's harder for him to pull off now. So now he started micro-chimping. This way of just, and I remember, you may remember, if you've been listening since the very start, I talked about calorie creep right at the start of the podcast, and it's such an important thing to bear in mind. Because low-calorie foods are great if you don't really eat many of them. But if there's low-calorie foods that are really easy to eat, and you don't clock them in MyFitnessPal, or however you're counting your calories, believe me when I say they start racking up. I used the example of, like, After Eight kind of mints the other day. They're 45 calories a go. So you think, oh, I won't bother putting that in MyFitnessPal. You absolutely have to, trust me. And if you don't, Mr. Chimp in your brain will start micro-chimping, because you'll have one and you'll go, oh, it's only 45 calories. I've got the calories today. I did loads of steps, or whatever it is, whatever your justification is. Still the chimp, but just so under the radar. It's not a big battle. So under the radar that you don't quite notice it. It's not quite, it doesn't trigger that cognitive, that conscious part of the brain to say, hang on, that's the chimp fucking with you, Alex. Stop him. Because it's not quite big enough. Sort of under the radar. If it was 100 calories, you might go, oh, 100, I better check in my fitness plan if I've got. But 45 calories, 20 calories, a couple of sweets, a sweet. So he'll micro-chimp it and he'll get those extra calories off you. But what you'll then notice is he'll do it again and again and again and again and again. And those kind of one or two chocolate thins that you've taken over the course of an evening will turn into 6, 7, or 8. And then you've gone up to 300 calories and you might as well have had a fucking sandwich. Do you know what I mean? That is micro-chimping. But again, yet again, Mr. Chimp, on day 100 of hashtag 365, I am onto you. And slowly, I'm dismantling your ability to hijack me in any way. And all that sounds like quite a crazy metaphor. But I guess really what I'm saying is, on day 100 of hashtag 365, what I've done so far today is take great strides towards dismantling my unhealthy relationship with food. And I've never felt more confident about it. So I'm totally stoked on that. And I very much look forward to us having a little chat tomorrow for day 101.